Welcome to a half hour of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. Michael Hansen. The Mind Web story this time is a very, very short story by Lyon Miller called The Available Data on the Warp Reaction. The earliest confirmed data on Aldous Warp, infant, indicates that while apparently normal in most physical respects, he was definitely considered by neighbors, playmates, and family as a hopeless idiot. We know, too, that he was a quiet child of extremely sedentary habits. The only sound he was ever heard to utter was a shrill monosyllable, closely akin to the expression, we. And this only when summoned to meals, or less often when his enigmatic interest was aroused by an external stimulus, such as an odd-shaped pebble, a stick, or one of his own knuckles. Suddenly, this child abandoned his accustomed inactivity. Shortly after reaching his sixth birthday, the time is unfortunately only approximate, Aldous Warp began a series of exploratory trips to the city dump, which was located to the rear of the Warp premises. After a few of these tours, the lad returned to his home one afternoon dragging a large cogwheel. After lengthy deliberation, he secreted it within an unused chicken coop, and thus began a project that did not end for nearly 20 years. Young Warp progressed through childhood, boyhood, and young manhood, transferring thousands of metal objects, large and small, of nearly every description, from the dump to the coop. Since any sort of formal schooling was apparently beyond his mental capacity, his parents were pleased by the activity that kept Aldous happy and content. Presumably, they did not trouble themselves with the aesthetic problems involved. As suddenly as it had begun, Aldous Warp abandoned his self-imposed task. For nearly a year, again the time is approximate due to insufficient data, Aldous Warp remained within the confines of the Warp property. When not occupied with such basic bodily needs as eating and sleeping, he moved slowly about his pile of debris with no apparent plan or purpose. One morning he was observed by his father, as we are told by the latter, to be selecting certain objects from the pile and fitting them together. It should be noted here, I think, that no account of the Warp reaction can be complete without certain direct quotations from Aldous's father, Lambert Simnel Warp. Concerning the aforementioned framework, the elder Warp has said,
"The thing that got me was every piece he picked up fit with some other piece. It didn't make no difference if it was a bed spring or a busted egg beater. If the kid stuck it on a part, it stayed there."
Concerning usage of tools by Aldous Warp, L.S. Warp has deposed,
"No tools."
A lengthier addendum is offered us by L.S. Warp in reply to a query, which I quote direct. "How in God's name did he manage to cause separate parts to adhere to each other to make a whole?" And the answer from a Dr. Palmer was, "The stuff went together tighter than a mallard's, and nobody, but nobody, mister, could get them apart." It was obviously quite stable, since young Aldous frequently clambered into the maze to add another part without disturbing its equilibrium in the slightest. The foregoing, however sketchy, is all the background we have to the climactic experiment itself. for an exact report of the circumstances attendant upon the one controlled demonstration of the warp reaction, we're indebted to Major Herbert R. Armstrong, the U.S. Army Engineers, and to Dr. Philip H. Eustace Cross, AEC, who were present. It seems that at exactly 10:46 a.m., Aldous Warp picked up a very old and very rusty cogwheel, the very first object he had retrieved from oblivion on the junk pile, so long ago when he was but a tad of six. After a moment's hesitation, he climbed to the top of his jerry-built structure, paused, then lowered himself into its depths. He disappeared from the sight of these trained observers for several minutes. Dr. Cross, 4:59, Major Armstrong, 5:02. Finally, Aldous reappeared, climbed down, and stared fixedly at his creation. I now quote from the combined reports of Major Armstrong and Dr. Cross. After standing dazed-like for a few minutes, Warp finally came very close to his assembly. There was a rod sticking out with a brass ball of a bedpost fastened to it. Aldous Warp gave this a slight tug. What happened then was utterly fantastic. First, we heard a rushing sound, something like a waterfall. The sound grew appreciably louder. And in about 15 seconds, we saw a purplish glow emanate from beneath the contraption. Then the whole congeries of rubbish rose into the air for a height of about 3 meters and hung there, immobile. The lad Aldous jumped around with every semblance of glee, and we distinctly heard him remark, "Wee!" several times. And then he went to one side of the phenomenon, reached down and turned over the rusty wheel of a coffee mill, and his machine slowly settled to earth. There was, of course, considerable excitement. Representatives of the armed services, the press services, the AEC, various schools for advanced studies at all arrived in droves. Communication with Aldous Warp was impossible since the young man had never learned to talk. L.S. Warp, however, profane, was an earnest and sincere gentleman anxious to be of service to his country. But the above quotations from his conversations will indicate how little light he was able to shed on the problem. Efforts to look inside the structure availed little, since the closest and most detailed analysis could elicit no other working hypothesis than, "It's all nothing but a bunch of junk," Dr. Palmer. And further, young Warp obviously resented such investigations. However, he took great delight in operating his machine and repeatedly demonstrated the reaction to all beholders. The most exhaustive tests, Geiger, electronic, Weissendonk, litmus, and so forth, revealed nothing. Finally, the importunities of the press could no longer be denied, and early in the afternoon of the second day, telecasters arrived on the scene. Aldous Warp surveyed them for a moment and then brought his invention back to Earth. With a set look on his face, he climbed to its top, clambered down into its bowels, and in due course reappeared with the ancient cogwheel. This he carefully placed in its original resting place in the chicken coop. Systematically, and in order of installation, he removed each part from his structure and carefully returned it to its original place in the original heap by the chicken coop. Today, the component parts of the whole that was Warp's reaction are scattered. For, silently ignoring the almost hysterical pleas of the men of science and of the military, Aldous Warp, after dismantling his machine completely and piling all parts in and over the chicken coop, then took upon himself the onerous task of transporting them, one by one, back to their original place in the city dump. Now, unmoved by an occasional berating by L.S. Warp, silent before an infrequent official interrogation, Aldous Warp sits on a box in the backyard of his ancestral home, gazing serenely out over the city dump. And once in a very great while, his eyes light up for a moment, and he says, "Wee," very quietly. web story this time was the available data on the warp reaction. A short story by Lion Miller. This is Michael Hansen. Technical operation for this broadcast by Rich Grote and Marv Nunn. MindWebs is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio in Madison.